Pray. Speak, O Lord. We are listening. Amen. Why is it that the same gospel can be preached to two different people? One of them comes to faith in Jesus, the other one doesn't. Well, one of the first things that we have to realize is that God has not told us everything. He tells us enough so that we might be saved. He proclaims the law to show us our sins, and the gospel to show us that our sins have been forgiven. Law and gospel, that covers all the doctrines of Holy Scripture. The only thing left is history. And history shows us how the law and gospel are put into action. This leaves some gaps in information. When we come to a gap where we can't find the answer in Scripture, what do? Well, either of two things. Either we accept the fact that there is something that God hasn't told us and we don't need to know, and then we trust Him to take care of it. Or we can try to fill the gap with something that comes out of our own heads. As for the question I asked at the beginning, God tells us that the man who comes to faith will give God all the glory for this. It is the Holy Spirit working through the gospel message who creates that faith. God tells us also that the man who rejects the gospel has only himself to blame. God wants all men to be saved. He proved it by sacrificing His Son for the sins of everybody. The Holy Spirit is always at work when the gospel is being preached, at work to do what God wants. Therefore, the man who resists and rejects the gospel message has only himself to blame. I realize that this leaves a gap, but we dare not try to fill that gap with arguments of human reason. If we do, we will inevitably end up giving the believer credit for his faith and blaming God for the lack of faith in the unbeliever. And this is exactly what is being done in churches that follow Calvinism or Reformed theology. On the one hand, they have decision theology, which says it's up to you to decide whether to accept Christ as your Savior or not. And on the other hand, they teach double predestination, which says that God elected certain people to salvation and elected the rest to damnation. So they end up taking the glory for their faith, for their own faith, and blaming God for the damnation of the wicked. In our consideration of why it is that some people abandon the CLC, we began by asking whether the reasons for leaving were a life and death matter. Throughout history, many people have sacrificed their lives rather than give up the truth of Scripture. Anyone who contemplates leaving the CLC should ask if their reason is something worth dying for. Now, there are plenty of reasons that are trivial, unimportant, emotional, personal differences and non-scriptural matters, and so forth. Next, I ask whether we can really be sure that the CLC is teaching the truth. And we saw how it is that the Holy Spirit is the one who does the teaching, who teaches our hearts and minds. is He who guides us through the Bible and reveals to us the truth. So by comparing the teachings of our church with the teachings of Holy Scripture, we can answer the question, is the CLC teaching the truth? The Spirit will lead us. Last time we learned how the love of the world and things that are in the world can become a cause for turning a person away from the truth. We looked at the passage that talked about the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. Forces that can drive people off the pathway of truth and onto the pathway of error or wickedness. But then again, how can this happen? How is this possible? If it is the Spirit who teaches us, then why do some remain faithful to His teachings while others abandon those teachings, even though once they accepted them? How is it possible for someone who has been taught by the Spirit to turn around and reject the teachings of the Spirit? Well, I come back to the same answer that I gave at the beginning, and that is, we don't know. We can't answer it. This much we do know. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The fact that anybody remains faithful to the truth of God is due to the gracious working of God alone. We know this also. Those who depart from the truth have only themselves to blame. Christ said about the Jews, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." This and other passages put the blame squarely on the sinner himself. God is the one who helps us to endure, to remain faithful. The apostate fall as a result of their own doing. And the unanswered question still remains, what's the difference between the one and the other? Aren't we all sinners? Do we not all naturally resist God? Is not my old Adam the same as their old Adam? Well, we preach what we know, and the rest we have to leave to God. We do not make up doctrine, and therefore we are left with this, and I know this is repetition, but people turn away even though the Holy Spirit is urging them to abide in the truth. We can't look into their hearts to see what it is that caused them to turn. And as for you and me, what we need to do is to continue praying to God to keep us steadfast in His Word. We need to keep listening to that Word so that He can show us the truth. And then by the grace of God, we will continue walking in the truth, even though others may depart. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He has promised. We'll close with the words of hymn 283.